Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be back in Iowa. I see the snow still on the ground. In June, is that what you said? Is that what I heard? In June? No, I've been here in June. It's 106 then. It's wonderful to be back with some wonderful friends. And all day long, I've been running into people that I really spent an enormous amount of time with back in 2007 and the early part of 2008. And by the way, you know, the first chapter of the book that I released about a year and a half ago called Do the Right Thing, the first chapter of the book was called I Love Iowa. And I hope some of you have read it. If you haven't, you should. Especially the first chapter, you'll really like it. And I talk about the night of the caucuses as we'd gone over to Waterloo to be there for one of the caucus events. We got as close as we could in the car, and then we had to walk over ice and snow and treacherously about 500 yards to get to the school where the caucus was being held. When we left there, the car was blocked in and we couldn't get out. And we were in a desperate rush. We needed to get back to Des Moines for the caucus watch and all the activities. And we realized the car is hopelessly blocked in. We're never going to get out of there because there was a lot more people that had shown up than ever had been anticipated. So we finally literally stopped a car at an intersection. It was a kid who was home from college. We commandeered him and his car, and he agreed to drive us over to the airport so we could get a flight back over here in a little small airplane that had no heat. We were dying. I had the coat over my head. We were wearing gloves. It was my wife and me and two of our staff members, and we were huddled up like this. And as we were coming into Des Moines, our Blackberries all started just going nuts. And we couldn't figure out what in the world. It's like something major. And as we were coming in, we started reading our messages, and it turned out that everyone in the world knew that we had won the Iowa caucuses but us. We were the last to know. Anyway, what a great experience it was then. But I'm not here today to talk about what was. I'm here today to talk about what can be. I think all of you know that Bob Vanderplaats and I got to be very close friends, not just associates and political allies, but close friends during the course of the campaign. And there were many friendships formed. Danny Carroll and his wife, Joy, I will consider for the rest of my life as dear personal friends. There's so many throughout this state that you spend that much time with, you visit with them, you go to their homes, you get to know their kids, and it's far beyond the realm of politics. But in the context of all of those relationships and opportunities to visit, you get to know something about a person, not what they say at the podium and not what the position papers are that they publish. You get to know something about a person when he or she is off stage and tired and late at night, and you find out whether what's inside of them is as real as what you see out there in the public moment. And when Bob asked me to come back and be a part of his campaign and help him, it was not hard for me to say, of course I will. Because having been a governor for 10 and a half years, I think I know something about the various qualities that make for a good governor. And I find every one of them in Bob. And I'm very, very happy to be able to be here today because, quite frankly, many of you in this room, because of your strong positions and your commitment to the sanctity of every human life, your belief that marriage hasn't changed, it still means one man, one woman, relationship for life, because of your commitment to the idea that moms and dads really do raise better kids than governments ever will, and the idea that small business really is the engine of the American economy. And if 85% of the new jobs are created by small business, the government doesn't need to do everything it can to make it hard for small businesses to survive. They need to do everything possible to make it so that small businesses can really thrive, not just survive. The key to ending unemployment is really opening up the marketplace so that a person who sits down on their kitchen table and sketches out an idea for a business on a napkin talking about it with their wife can actually see that come to fruition. That can never happen if their biggest competitor turns out to be their own government. And that's why the election cycle that we're in right now in 2010 may be a turning point, not just for Iowa, but for all of America. There have been a lot of encouraging signs. The Tea Parties have been, to me, one of the greatest signs of American revival I have seen. And I know that some people still don't understand the phenomena, but let me try to explain for those who don't get it. The Tea Party activists, for the most part, are not the traditional political operatives who have signed up to be committee workers and normally go to the political party events. They historically are not the ones who have been lined up with candidates, and their involvement in politics is not about getting appointed to some board or commission or some agency. They're not interested in being an ambassador somewhere. These are mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, small business owners, self-employed people who woke up to a rapidly changing country and said, enough, and who decided that they really did believe in the American ideal that we, the people, ultimately rule. And it's been a very wonderful, positive explosion of expression of the true American spirit. I was asked earlier today, what do I think about many of the folks who have been Tea Party activists and how the maybe members of the political ruling class have accepted them? I said, much to my surprise, some of them have been contemptuous. I can recall the comment by Nancy Pelosi, who said that it was nothing more than astroturf, artificial grassroots movement. I can think of the video exchanges that we've all now seen, some of them rather celebrated, with members of Congress yelling and screaming and arguing with the people that are their bosses. I don't know where you guys have worked. I would imagine that you've had a similar kind of experience as mine. When you yell at your boss, you usually get fired. It's okay when the boss yells at the employee, but the employee rarely yells at the boss. We've got members of Congress who don't understand who the boss is and who works for who. And that's why I think the Tea Party movement has been a great reminder that ultimately American citizens, ordinary people who pay the taxes and make it all work, are the ones that we better start listening to again. Today I'm delighted to be able to visit with many of you in this room. And some of you are longtime Republican activists. Sometimes many of you perhaps are independents, maybe a sprinkling of Democrats here and there. I don't know. I hope that more than you're committed to a particular political party, you are committed to particular principles that start with the idea that all of us are created equal and are endowed by our creators with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It starts with an idea that every person has equal worth and value. No person is worth more than another. No person is worth less than another. And whether that person is unborn, just born, born for a while, born for a whole long time and getting near the finish line, that person has value and worth, and the sanctity of that life at any level should be protected by the government and not held with some level of disdain. Bob Vanderplas is a pro-life person, not because that is a politically convenient position for him to take, but because he knows that the day that we begin to disrespect one person within a culture, one person whose life has less value, then one day a person may decide that one of us has less value. That's why the pro-life position is not just about unborn children, though it certainly is that. It's about every human life, every human being. And it is the most consistent point of view with our founders, who believe that all of us are created equal. I also believe that if Bob were governor, Iowa would not be one of those states that people scratch their head at and said, they have same-sex marriage. What? Iowa? And I hope that Iowa will be one of those states that will allow its people to make that decision, not its politicians and judicial participants. And I'm also grateful because Iowa was a place that believed in me when very few places did not. I want to come back today to say thank you. When I first started in Iowa, traveling across this state, we made every pizza ranch in Iowa. To this day, I don't know why Pizza Ranch doesn't ask me to be their national spokesman, because I don't think there's a Pizza Ranch in this state I haven't visited, because that's all we could afford. If you did a large pizza, they would let you use their meeting room for free. And we didn't need a very big place, because there were only 4 and 5 people showing up at my events. And we'd get one pizza and feed everybody, and 4 or 5 people would come, and we'd talk to them and try to get them first to the straw poll and later to the caucuses. And over a period, the 4 and 5 became 10 and 11 and 12 and 13. And then one day we had a crowd. But during that period of time, it was really interesting, because a lot of places I would go, I would say, "I'm Mike Huckabee. I'm running for president." And it didn't just happen in Iowa, but it happened in many places. They'd ask me, "Really? President of what?" True story. Denver, Colorado. Got off an airplane. My press secretary went to the car rental counter. We were going to go out to do a fundraiser. Went to the car rental counter, put the campaign credit card up on the desk to get the car. Card said Huckabee for president. And the lady did look up and say, "Huckabee for president. President of what?" Folks, that really hurts, you know, when you're running for president of the United States. During those early days in Iowa, nobody stopped me and said, "Oh, I know you're that guy running for president." Not at all. And even after the campaign had ended, what was really amazing to me was how few people really paid that much attention to politics. And here's what's a little scary. After the campaign had ended, and despite a better than expected run, we didn't get the delegates and didn't win the nomination, had to go on to other things. I'd be traveling the country, and not that many people would notice unless they were political junkies, and the ones who did would say, "Yeah, I know you." And they either would think that I was the guy that ran for president or the guy that sold them a used car last year. Some of them didn't know the difference. But then something happened. I started doing a weekly television show on the Fox News Channel. And folks, I want to tell you something. It's a little scary how much more influence television seems to have on the American psyche than running for the president of the United States does. Because once that started, the recognition level went up dramatically. And when I say it's a little spooky, it is bizarre, because you would think that being a candidate for president would matter more than hosting a talk show. Apparently not. Except once in a while, there are those moments that bring one down to earth. I'm on planes 4 and 5 days a week these days, traveling all the time. And I'm in Atlanta Airport just constantly, to the point that I know most of the Delta employees there by name. And they know me by name, and my frequent flyer number pops up on their screen when I'm coming, because when you fly as many miles as I do, they look after their customers that keep them in business. I'm almost single-handedly keeping them in business these days. Well, I was in there one day, and as is often the case, they would ask me to sign things and have pictures made with some of the employees for their relatives. And I was in there, we were taking some photos, and I was signing some books. And a young lady who was in the Delta Sky Club looked over there, and she was watching this going on, and I'm sure she was thinking, "I don't know who that guy is, but people are having their picture made with him." So she gets up and walks over. She's a young lady, very attractive, in her 20s, looks like to me. And she comes over and she says, "Excuse me, have I seen you on television?" I said, "Well, you might have." And she said, "You're in politics, aren't you?" I thought, oh, okay, she recognizes me. I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. You're Bob Dole, aren't you?" True story, folks. Look, I love Senator Dole. He is a dear, dear American patriot and a wonderful guy, but he is 85 years old. That really hurt. And I really don't appreciate you thinking it was that funny either. But if it's any consolation, my wife thought it was even funnier than you did. I am glad today, whether you recognize me or not, to recognize you as a force to be reckoned with in Iowa politics. And whether you realize it or not, the folks in this room and the folks like you across this state will well decide who the next governor will be, and will have a real impact on representative and Senate races across this state, and help determine the future course of the state of Iowa. I hope that you will not grow weary in well-doing, but instead will give your diligent effort to make sure that you stand for the principles that brought you into politics, because most of you in this room did not get involved because you're looking for something out of government other than to be left alone. But you're looking for government to at least uphold the things that you hold dear and believe that our founders created as a nation, bathed in prayer and conceived as a nation that was given to people who wanted something simple, liberty, for themselves and for the future generations. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be with you. It is a joy to be back in Iowa. God bless you, and perhaps I'll see you again this summer when I'm out there campaigning for Bob and some other good folks here in Iowa. Thank you very, very much.